This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 543. Neil from IELTS MOOC reveals magic writing advice.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show.
Today, you'll meet Neil from the IELTS MOOC study group on Facebook, also a representative of the British Council, and you'll learn why many students still score 5 in writing task 1.
To get fluent and connect in English, you need a way to practice without being judged by others and to feel free to make mistakes. That's why Monica, an English teacher from Poland, joined our fluency course.
I didn't know what to expect, but when I finally opened the course and I joined the community, I realized that this is what I've been looking for.
You can join this same community that Monica joined and achieve exciting results at allearsenglish.com/plan. Save up to 20% if you join before midnight on May 5th. Offer expires at midnight on May 5th.
Hello, IELTS Energy listeners. We have a VIP guest today from none other than the British Council. Yes. And someone that I knew 14 years ago and actually gave me my very first teaching job in the whole field of ESL. So this is super exciting. Neil, can you tell us who you are, please?
Okay. I can't believe you're still holding that against me, but okay. I'm the social community manager for the British Council. And what that means is that I manage like our global social media channels. So our Facebook channels, Twitter, YouTube, and so on. And also I work on our online courses.
Cool.
Like our online IELTS course on Future Learn.
Okay. Okay, awesome. So let's focus on like the Facebook aspect of your social media responsibility. Do you think that takes up the biggest part of what you deal with social media?
Yeah, by a long, long way.
Okay.
You know, we're active on different channels, but Facebook continues to be like the biggest by a long way, and it gets the biggest reach, and we have very active communities there and, you know, different pages, different groups, and they're all continually growing. So, yeah, definitely.
It is incredible to me how quickly education has been embraced by Facebook, or maybe it's the other way around. I'm not sure. But I know for us as well, Facebook is a huge part of our IELTS course also, because that's the interactive part. Like that's, I think it, if students aren't in the classroom, like we still need we're online because it's flexible, but we still need the best part of the classroom, which is the interaction and the community aspect.
Sure.
And there's no other way to do that besides Facebook. So like the Facebook group for our course also, I love it. I'm always in there answering questions and like, you know, interacting with students. That's a huge part of what I end up doing as well. So which IELTS Facebook groups are you active in?
Well, our main kind of Facebook page is our Facebook Learn English page and our Learn English Teams page. But as a kind of offshoot of that, as part of our Understanding IELTS MOOC and Future Learn, we started a group called the IELTS MOOC Study Group for students, because we had, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of students on the online course. And when it came to an end, they were all kind of drifting off into different groups and into, you know, what do you call it?
It's okay. You know, there's a time difference. We're in different countries. It's my morning, your nighttime. It's fine.
So, yeah, but they were drifting off into, like, you know, individual groups and different platforms and so on. And, they were missing each other and they were going different ways. So we just decided to set up a Facebook group where they could continue the connection. You know, they could do it during the course, but then after the course was finished, they could still be there. And that just took off and grew really, really quickly. And really active.
Okay, I need you to explain some of the terms, because I know they're normal for you because you say them all the time, but to our audience, these may be new ideas. Okay, so you mentioned Future Learn. What is that?
Future Learn is it's kind of the British version of something like Coursera. It's the kind of the platform where all the universities in the UK and organizations like the British Council have their courses. And they run a range of free on massive open online courses. And, you know, these can range from a few thousand students up to 100,000 or 200,000 students on a course.
That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like the British Council in association with a lot of these other universities.
Well, no, Future Learn is a separate platform. It's kind of a consortium of universities and Open University and so on, and it runs online courses for a whole range of different universities and some organizations like the British Council. Yeah.
Okay, I got it. And so you're focusing on IELTS mostly, mm-hmm. though, right? Okay. And so IELTS MOOC, MOOC. What is MOOC? What is a MOOC?
Yeah. To be honest, yeah, I try to stay away from the word MOOC because, like you say, it's a word that when you're working in this thing, you know, and you use all the time automatically.
Right.
When you say it to other people, you just get a blank look. So
it's a fun word to say, even if I have no idea where it comes from.
It's a great word, but it's really a massive open online course. And basically just what that means is that these courses are free for anyone to join. There are no specific entry requirements. There's no fees to pay. They go on and they can interact. They can communicate with thousands of other students around the world. And
awesome.
We provide educators during the course who can answer their questions. And then we have live events and so on. And within that.
Got it.
Okay.
And then how big is the IELTS MOOC study group?
It's really big. It's surprisingly big. I honestly didn't expect it to become so big when we started it. But it's now at something like 230,000 members.
Whoa. Okay. And it's completely open. Right? Like anybody can join this.
Generally it's a closed private group. They have to apply to join, but generally, you know, we take a look and if anyone can join, as long as these, you know, they're not selling any products or promoting anything or, you know, okay, you know, if people come on and start to sell service or advertise things, then we kick them out again. But, you know, the vast majority of these people are people who are preparing for IELTS or who have done IELTS and want to help each other, and lots of teachers as well who come on.
Cool.
And so on.
Okay, awesome. So just a couple weeks ago, I had Ben McBride on the show from IELTS mm-hmm. for All study group, mm-hmm. and he was saying the same thing, that like anybody could join his group as well, talk mm-hmm. about IELTS, find study partners and such, but he has had a bit of an issue with people coming on and trying to promote themselves, which, like, we're all sort of in it together. Like, we're all, like, we understand. And he's like, I get it. Like, everybody's trying to promote what they do, but at the same time, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different thing. It's like, I don't know if you've looked at our Learn English Facebook page, but we share a lot of third-party stuff there from different companies and organizations. And it's not like, you know, they can't sell a service or something, but it's, you know, if you go to somebody's website and they're offering a good blog or some good advice on IELTS or some good practice, and then, you know, they have a part on their website where you can buy a service, that's fine. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
The problem is when people just come on and spam people with adverts for their services and stuff. You know, that's a different thing. And nobody wants that.
That's just rude, first of all.
I mean,
come on, guys. Even though we're online, there's still such a thing as etiquette.
Exactly. You don't invite somebody around to your party and expect them to go around handing out business cards to everybody there. You know, it's just...
well, not. We hope not. Ozzy is an active member of this podcast today.
I think he was just agreeing, no?
That's what he meant. He was like, no, that's terrible. I hate that. Yeah. Okay, so let's get to some useful tips for our listeners. So what would you say is maybe one of the most like common posts from students or questions from students that you see in the IELTS MOOC study group?
Well, I'd have to say one of the most common questions is one that I kind of always have to give a warning to. We get a lot of people saying, how can I get, you know, to band seven in 2 weeks?
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Or something like that. And that's a big part of my job in this is always to explain to them that, you know, it doesn't work like that. And that really it's a question of practice and time and, you know, working on what their time frame is, when they need to get the results, identifying what the specific areas they need to improve are, and then focusing on them. And that there's no magic trick to suddenly being able to go from like 5 to 7 in 2 weeks. That's actually probably the biggest question that we get.
I find myself saying that a lot, like word for word. Like, first of all, I'm not sure why exactly you got a 5, you know, like I can't, it's going to be different for everybody, right? Yeah. Like whatever your strengths and weaknesses are, maybe like just not knowing what the examiner is wanting. Yeah. Like, I don't
know. Not knowing
what
the test, lots of things are possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So there's the second thing as well. Like there's no magic shortcut. There's just not. Like the only quote unquote magic shortcut is to actually commit yourself to studying for IELTS and putting in the time necessary to not only know the exam, but improve your overall English. Because at the end of the day, it is an English test. And if you're at a 5, I'm guessing you probably need to focus on your overall English first before you can like even tackle the IELTS exam.
Sure. So if we take that group out of the equation, then the next biggest questions usually relate to, obviously, I think writing and speaking and things where people, you know, don't have access to a teacher and, you know, they don't have someone outside to kind of guide them or give them feedback on their progress. And you know, they've perhaps, they're quite happy with the resources that they're able to get for reading and listening and practice that. But, you know, they have a big gap there. So that's the next biggest group, of course. So people looking for input on how to practice and improve and assess their speaking and writing.
Yeah, because that's really hard to do on one's own. Reading and listening, you do need to know the test strategies, especially for reading.
Sure.
But you can improve those skills on your own because those are receptive. Those are you're just receiving that information. So what do you tell students? If a student comes to you and is like, I'm still getting a 6 on writing, I can't figure out how to make that jump to a 7, like what do you tell that person?
Well, the first thing we normally tell them, to be honest, is to join, if they haven't already, to join our online course on the MOOC, because that's where we deal with lots of these strategies. But if they've done that and they're still in this kind of situation, it's really a case, as you said there, there's a lot of getting to know the exam, getting to know the band descriptors, getting to know what the examiner is looking for, understanding really. You know, very often the reason, especially the people that we get very often who are stuck, they kind of get to 6.5 or 6 and they need 6.5 or 6.5 and they need 7.
Yeah.
Very, very often the problems come down to the structure of what they're writing. And
totally.
You know, the details to do with that, perhaps their grammar, their lexical resource is all good, but, you know, the actual final product is not really what it should be. So, you know, we share lots of resources for people to actually really become familiar with examples of, you know, best practice and what makes for the different types of task 1 or task 2 essays and so on. And then to try to, you know, look at that and then identify their own specific problems where they're having issues, whether it's in, as I say, the structure or whether it's in perhaps doing things that they shouldn't be doing within that and then working towards that. And then we have various free writing practice, writing skills practice activities on our website that go through IELTS type tasks. And so they can see multiple answers and then go through practice exercises and then, you know, do separate questions and so on with that and then compare the results and then break it down into different things like paragraphing and and so on, you know, and selecting the right information, for example, in task one.
Okay.
And things like that. So it's all about giving them lots of tools to work with, but you know, it's still after they've written it, if they don't have someone to mark it or assess it, then it's still a case of training themselves to really look at that and really, you know, analyze their own work in comparison to their target.
Well, especially with speaking and writing, you can't teach yourself what you don't know, first of all.
Yeah.
And then with writing, I mean, even if you are looking at the public descriptors for task one and task two, it's not obvious to anybody except like a trained IELTS examiner what the heck some of that stuff means.
Yeah.
You know, like what does it mean to, like expand on something clearly, or like what's the tone of task one that we're going for if you're a general training candidate? So that's tough.
Yeah.
But if we could give our listeners like one takeaway as far as structure goes, what have you found to be sort of a common misunderstanding among students, something that they're not hitting just because they don't understand what IELTS is asking them to do as far as structure goes? So this would be for the task score, right? Like in order to hit that 7 or higher for task two, what do you think a lot of students are sort of missing out on?
Well, if we look at task one first, for example, in academic, I find the most common problem that I come across with people who are quite close to doing their test and, you know, who are prepared in many other ways is the lack of an overview.
Right. You know, okay.
I really find that's a big problem because, I mean, really what I always try and train my students to do is, first of all, put everything else out of their mind and look at what they're describing and get the overview first and just decide what that is. And then, you know, once they have that and once they've written that down and once they know what the overall key points, what the essential information is, then it becomes much easier to kind of fill in the gaps with the specific information that supports it. And
totally.
I don't know if you have the same experience, but you'd be surprised how many people just don't do that.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Well, this is one of those things that we're talking about when we say like IELTS is a very unique test, right? It has very specific things that you have to hit in order to get a 7 or higher. And in this case, you have to have an overall trend just to get a 6 or higher. Mm-hmm. And so guys, if you're missing out on that, I mean, just one of those categories dropping down to a 5, that significantly impacts your score on average.
Yeah.
So yeah, that we do the same thing in our course, just like you have to take a step back and understand what this information is first, right? Like get the overall trend in your mind first and then choose the numbers, because it's like the thesis statement for task two. That overall trend should control what is going to be in the rest of the essay, right?
Yeah.
It summarizes what those key points are. Like
exactly.
In task two, your key points are supporting the thesis statement. So it's the same in task one, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
And what I like about that, though, is that once you've kind of got people doing it a few times, and once you've got, you know, and I'm talking like online, I'm not talking about in the class, I'm talking about from sharing kind of resources or tips or answering or giving people feedback on what they've done, that is something that you can work on yourself. That is something
totally.
That you can really just do by repetition. And the more you do it, the better you become at it, the faster you do it, the easier it gets, you know.
That's with any of the IELTS strategies.
Sure.
Right? And like the thing that gets me about the overall trend is I think because it is so simple, it really, at the end of the day, it is so simple.
Yeah.
but it's so necessary. Like it's the shortest, simplest thing of your essay. But if it's missing, like this is the one sentence that really like controls your score more than anything else. Mm-hmm. So if this one little thing is missing, then the score's out the window. Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's leave it there because I think there's a lot more that we could talk about and maybe we can have you on as a guest in another episode. But guys, join the IELTS MOOC study group, become involved with more IELTS communities and just interact with professionals, learn what these strategies are that you need. And of course, you can always get into our course, the 3 Keys IELTS Success System. We have it all there. Go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS. Okay, awesome. Neil, thank you so much for coming on today.
No problem. Anytime. I'll see if I get another invitation or not.
Oh, That's the big cliffhanger. Who knows? Who knows if Neil will come back? You listeners, stay tuned. Okay. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your night there in Bratislava.
I shall.
Say that right?
Okay. Yes, you did. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Bye, Neil.
Right.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.